We know that the Bible gives to us many exceeding and precious promises within the Word of God. Each of those promises can help us in times of trial that are placed in our path. Last Sunday evening, we considered together from 1 Corinthians 10:13 one such promise. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will with the temptation provide for you a way of escape. Last week we considered the reality that God provides for all believers a way of escape in times of trial. Certainly we need to learn to rest in the promises that God has given to us in his word. They are given to us that we might have assurance, that we might have confidence, that we might walk boldly in this day and age. All of us will face times of trial within our life. In fact, the Bible tells us that trials are difficulties designed by God to purge us and to make us pure gold. Now, before I go any further, can I just ask, does the mic sound a little hot to you tonight? It is echoing in my ear. Can you, on the mic here, number four, slide that down just a hair? There we go. All right. We've been playing around with this for a little bit, and that just sounds hot. When it sounds hot to me, it's got to sound hot to you, and I don't want to hurt anybody tonight, so I'd like you to have your eardrums for the week, okay? But the reality is we all face trials, and they are designed by God in order to help us be made more like Christ. In fact, Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says these words, "Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ." Job would say the same truth in Job 23 in verse 10. Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold." What a blessing it is to consider that as the children of God, he knows the way that we take. He understands every step that we're involved in. He understands every situation that is encompassing us. He understands that those trials are there to make us of purer gold. David in Psalm 139 reminds us that how remarkable a thought it is to us that God knows our way. In Psalm 139 verses 1 through 6, David makes this statement, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." Truly, the promise that God has given one of escape is a wonderful promise. And folks, I trust that as we considered it last week, we would rest in the fact that through times of trial, through times of difficulty, our God is still faithful to us, and he provides a way of us to escape. Tonight, I want to see that the Bible also tells us and gives to us a promise that we are protected in every temptation. There is a protection in time of temptation, and there is a promise of victory from those temptations. Whereas trials are designed to make us more like Christ, there is also the reality of temptations that are thrown at us by our enemy, the devil, and they are designed to cause us to fall, to stumble into sin. Each of those temptations are often specific to our own weaknesses. In fact, the writer of Hebrews would say to us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Satan tries to lure you and I to those sins which are besetting to us, which we are prone to, we are weak in. All of us have a besetting sin of some sort and another. We are prone to trip up more and more in this area or another. And our enemy, the devil, seeks to exploit our weakness. He is walking about as an enemy, seeking whom he may devour. He wants you and I to leave the pathway of righteousness, and he wants to have us miss the blessing that God has in store. We all have our besetting sins. For some, there's the besetting sin that involves pride. Some struggle with besetting sins of unchecked lust or uncontrolled passions or appetites. There are those who struggle with wanting the preeminence. They want to be recognized and seen by others. Yet there are other people that are happy to serve behind the scenes and don't care much for the recognition. They're just happy that they can serve the Lord. There are some who are so self-absorbed that they could never serve within the church or share the gospel with the lost, while there are those who accept that responsibility and humbly fulfill their duty to be able to share Christ with others, and they're excited to do so. We all have to come to grips with the reality that temptations will come. And we all have to face the reality that God will bring trials to the life. How blessed it is to know, though, that God supplies the help that we need, and he gives us these great, exceeding precious promises. I want you to turn in your Bible tonight to James chapter 4, and I want to consider another promise that God gives us in his word. James chapter 4, I want you to look with me primarily at verse 7. For sake of context, we're going to start at verse 6, and we'll read down to verse 8. James writes and says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Before we consider this promise together tonight, let's bow together in a word of prayer, and then we'll take up the promise that God has given us. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the promises that are given to us, recorded to us, for us in your word. Father, we thank you tonight that we can study yet another promise that your word gives to us. The Lord, we can rest in the truth that your word has given to us, these promises which we know you will fulfill. For Father, you are a God who cannot lie. You are a God of truth, and what you have promised, you will perform. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the precious promise that there is victory in trial and temptation. That we can know the blessing of protection when we are tempted to sin. So, Father, I pray that you would help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin tonight to understand the precious promise that God in his word has given to us, I want us to see and understand the two thoughts tonight. First of all, I want you to note with me exactly what the promise is, and then I want you to see a procedure for procuring this promise. James says to us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I want to begin tonight by looking at the promise that we are given here by James. All of us know that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. We know that that battle is not with other people. Although some may be what I would consider pawns in that battle, the reality is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is a spiritual battle, and the head of the spiritual army that we fight against is none other than the devil, than Satan. All of us are in the midst of a spiritual battle. Peter tells us that he is like a hungry lion seeking whom he may devour so that he may destroy his own prey. Maybe you're like me sometimes and you would just wish that Satan and temptation would just leave you alone for a while. Sometimes we just wish that we could step aside from the battle. We wish everything could just kind of calm down for a while. We didn't have to face any new temptations. We wish the devil would just leave us alone. Here's the wonderful thing that James tells us in James 4 and verse 7. That he will leave you alone. James says to us, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is the reality that in the midst of a spiritual battle, God is able to give us victory. There is the reality that if we will follow His word and accept this promise, that we can see and understand the wonderful reality that we don't have to be under the temptation that Satan will bring. He will be caused to flee from us. How precious the thought it is that our spiritual battle can be victorious, that the devil would be caused to flee from us. Now you know that temptations come in many forms. Some are very subtle, and others are rather blatant. Yet God has promised to us that there can be victory over every form of temptation. If we resist the devil, God says he will cause him to flee from us. And you and I can find victory over the temptations that Satan brings our way. There are two parts to this promise that I want you to see with me. I'm going to mention them to you quickly, and then we're going to actually, under the thought of the procedure, develop it more carefully tonight. The first part of this promise is volitional. It's a matter of our will. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James tells us that when we of our own free will resist, when we of our own free will submit ourselves unto God, then the devil will be caused to flee from us. It is first of all volitional. There is a need for you and I to enact our will, to submit to God, and to resist the devil. We're going to define those terms more fully in just a moment. But the second part of this promise is not only volitional, it is victorious because we are promised victory. He will flee from us. James tells us that we can have victory over the temptations that Satan brings. He wants you to stumble. He wants you to fall. He wants you to leave the path of righteousness. He wants you to miss out on the blessings of Almighty God. And he lures you with temptation. And he keeps coming and coming and coming. But God says, I can promise you victory as you follow my word, and I will cause him to flee from you. We don't have to yield to temptation that comes our way. We don't have to give in. We don't have to be scarred by sin. We cannot claim, well, the devil made me do it. God says, I have given you victory in the times of temptation. He can be caused to flee from you. With the promise simply stated, I want to move on and consider, if you would, the procedure tonight, the procedure that James gives us. Just as every temptation is not the same, It is true that not every promise is the same as well. In God's word, there are different types of promises that he gives us. Now, the blessing is, although the promises themselves are not the same, the source is the same. It is God who promises us these good things. It has come to us in God's word, and we know that God cannot lie, and what he has promised, he will perform. But not every promise is the same. There are some promises in God's word that we call unconditional promises. They are promises given to us by God and will be fulfilled no matter what man does. God has said it, it is so, and you can count on it. There's nothing that we must do. There's no conditions that need to be met. God has said, I will or I will not, and you can count on it. One such promise is recorded for us in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 9, God gave an unconditional promise that he would never again destroy the earth by the means of a flood. God would never again bring such judgment that he would destroy the entire earth and wipe out the population like he did through a worldwide flood. Now, there are floods that happen in our world today. And no doubt some of those floods are means of God's judgment in this world. But God said, I will never annihilate the world again the way I did in the Genesis flood. And by the way, he gives to us the sign of that promise, the bow that's in the sky. The reality is God has given to us an unconditional promise. It doesn't matter, folks, how evil and vile this world is going to get. And by the way, this world will wax worse and worse and go deeper and deeper into its iniquity. And it will come to the time, just as in the days of Noah. But God will not destroy it, this world, with a flood. He's promised. And God will fulfill that promise. However, there are conditional promises that are given. A conditional promise means that when we fulfill what God's word says and we meet the requirements, God will do as he promised. There's a condition that must be met. What's before you and I tonight is a conditional promise. God has promised victory in times of temptation, that the devil will flee from you. But it is conditional on your response and your obedience to the word of God. God has told us what we must do in order to have that victory in times of temptation, to cause the devil to flee. But you and I must follow his word. James gives to us some very simple steps in this procedure. Look at verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. First of all, there is a resignation to the Lord. James tells us that the first step in seeing this promise fulfilled is that we must submit ourselves unto the Lord. In the previous verse, we're told that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. We are called upon to make a volitional choice. Yes, to resist the devil. But there is also a volitional choice to submit ourselves unto God. Why? Because, folks, you and I must recognize and must understand that we, in our of our own strength, are not capable of fighting against the wiles of the devil. You, of your own choice and your own strength, cannot resist Him as you should. We must first submit ourselves unto God. When we try to resist the devil in our own strength, we will fail. But look down at verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. God says we must humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the Lord. I think too often we feel that we have the strength to have the victory. I think sometimes we feel that we must live the Christian life in our own strength. Yet we forget that we weren't strong enough to save ourselves, and we are not strong enough to sanctify ourselves and live as we ought to live. We must submit ourselves to the Lord. Now, folks, that word submit is not a favorite term of people in our generation. We really don't like what it means. Yet submission is essential to our lives. In fact, this word submit is a military term, and it means to render obedience, to be subordinate to. You and I are to submit ourselves unto the Lord. We are to render our obedience unto Him. We are to recognize that He is sovereign and we are His subordinate, and what His word says we must do. We have to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Peter in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." God says, "I promise victory to those who are willing to, first of all, submit themselves unto Me." It's not in your strength that you're going to live a victorious Christian life. It's not by a matter of your will that you will just stand and resist and everything will be okay. God says you must first submit to Me and allow Me to be that strength which lives through you. No wonder why Paul would say in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We must first submit unto the Lord. But then he goes on. We must resign unto Him, but secondly, we must resist the devil. We submit ourselves unto God. We resist the devil. And then the promise is, he will flee. It's interesting, this word resist is the antonym of the word submit. Our response to the devil is to be the exact opposite of our response to God. We are to resist him, to stand against him and his temptations. How are we to do that? By taking on to us, as Paul says, the whole armor of God. We are called as soldiers to stand against his advances. We are called to resist him. We're supposed to submit unto God. We're supposed to resign ourselves unto Him and follow Him as He leads us. But to the devil, we are to resist him, to be steadfast, unmovable, because Christ has given us the victory. We're to resist him in the strength of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated for us how this is to be done most effectively. He took up with him the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he fought every temptation that came his way. Folks, you and I are called to stand against the advances that Satan seeks to bring in our path. He wants to cause you to fall.
He wants you to leave the path of God's blessing. Sometimes His advances or His wiles are very subtle. We don't even realize that we are veering off the path. Sometimes they're just blatant and we know exactly what we are doing, and like Adam, we sin with eyes wide open. But in every case, God says, you can have the victory. And the way that we have the victory is simple. Submit yourself unto the Lord. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. It is His strength that will sustain you. It is His word that will defend you. It is His armor that will protect you. You cannot do it alone. And we're foolish to think we can. But then we must stand against the devil and resist him. Folks, I think so many times we get things within the Christian life just so quickly, so easily flip-flopped. What we do in our generation today is we stand against God and what He wants for us. We resist Him, but we quickly submit to the temptations that Satan puts before us. Now, folks, let's face it. Sin is alluring. Moses said that there was pleasure in sin, but it was only for a season. But he would rather forsake those pleasures that he might have God. Yet it's so easy for us just to kind of reverse the order in our lives. God says, I want you to change. God comes to us and He convicts us of our sin. And we say, no, God, I'm not going to change that way. The devil says, you know what, you really don't. You're really a pretty good person. Matter of fact, you're better than most people that are here today. Look at all the things that you do. And we so quickly listen to what he says. And we wonder why we're missing out sometimes on the blessings of Almighty God. Satan tempts and we follow. God exhorts and we say we don't want to listen anymore. After this morning's message, Brother Dave Stokes came to me and said, you know what, Pastor, I was thinking about something that was said to me years ago in relation to a prophecy conference. And I thought Brother Dave's statement to me was very interesting and very true. He related that a pastor before used to say that, you know, if I have a prophecy conference, we'll have an audience full. But we have an evangelistic campaign and no one will come. If we preach about the Antichrist, a lot of people want to listen. But when we preach about the Christ, no one wants to hear. Folks, sometimes we get everything flip-flopped within our world. God says, it's really pretty simple. If you want victory over temptation, you have to understand that you have temptation. And Satan is seeking to draw you away. And you can cause him to flee from you when you submit yourself unto the Lord. And then stand steadfast against Satan's advances. Again, folks, I'll take you back to the Gospel of Matthew, and I'd encourage you to read the temptation of our Lord, and you're going to find that's exactly what he did. He submitted unto the Father. He lived as he asked him to do, to go and to fast, and Satan brought the temptation, and in every turn he stood against him. And in the end, the Bible says that he departed from him, and then he was ministered unto by the Lord. See, our strength to fight temptation does not come from ourselves. It comes from above. And God has said, I promise you victory when temptation comes, if you submit to me and if you resist the devil. When we follow his word, Satan has no other recourse but to flee. You say, but he won't flee permanently. No, he won't. He'll keep attacking. But that's why we're to take unto us the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He has many devices. He has many paths that he will use. But in the end, God's desire is that having done all, we still stand victorious. And he has promised us that there is victory. And by the way, there can be continual victory as we continually follow those two simple steps. He will leave us, he will return, and then we must repeat the process again. He will flee, he will return, we repeat the process again. Now folks, I know that might be tiring, but the truth is we're not supposed to do it in our strength, right? Submit yourself unto the Lord. Resist the devil. And God says he has no choice but to flee from you. God has given us a promise over temptation, that we can have victory. I trust tonight that as we consider that promise, that we would do as we're told to do in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, knowing that he will lift you up. Let's pray together, please.